Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Samach Dalet. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Samach Daled. You will notice an angular bracket that begins. We have something very unusual in this perek, where this is not the first time where we see a very long diversion. And the starred comment, the double starred comment on the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we've noted until Ad Samachemet Beis, Gimel Shiros Meirosh Helmud, until Samachemet Beis. Notice we're right now on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, so that all of today's shir and a large part of the next shiur, Mirtz Hashem, will be involved with this diversion. In other words, up till now, we've been dealing with the issue of Goyim and Yidden, Jews and idol worshippers living in the same area. We are now going to get off that topic, even though the opening line will still be connected. But it's sort of a lead-in to that which follows, and our comment says, until Samach Yomid Beis, the Gemara will be Mesasekes Be'ikir Benoisei Shichrus. The Gemara will be involved primarily with the issue of intoxication, of being shikr. On the other side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, we introduce a diamond marking, and this it features Meimro Shel Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, comments of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shalem Rav Nachman, who will be highlighted with a double underline, Shalem Rav Nachman Megiv, where we see his response. Either he says Kama Ma'alya or Lo Ma'alya Hoshmaitza, where he reacts to the teachings as being either wonderful or not wonderful teachings. And the Gemara will have a comment to be made on that issue. And you can see under our Nosei heading, we indicate until Samach Yomid Beis, Shichrus, we'll talk about being drunk. Number one, Shikor Al Yore, that a person who is intoxicated should not issue halachic rulings. And number two, Shikor Al Yispalel, that a person who is intoxicated should not daven. Now the Gemara, Gufa. Kufa represents a quote from that which had been mentioned in passing above, and here the Gemara focuses on it. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, afilu schir afilu kito, no sein eruvo v'dayo. We spoke about this at length in our previous year, so to appreciate this more, so kindly listen to that previous year, especially the end of it, which dealt with this issue of a worker. Sphiro and Lakito, different types of workers, in this case Jewish workers that are working for a goy. So no sein eruv avodayo, the worker can contribute to the eruv with other Jews living in that particular area, and that is enough. And even though without a sphiro Lakito, if you just had a Gentile or an idol worshiper living together with other Jews in that courtyard or mavui, he would impose a restriction on the rest of them. Nevertheless, if he has Jewish workers, that will obviate the problem. Omer Rav Nachman, Kamo Ma'alya Ha Shmaitza. Rav Nachman says, how wonderful is that teaching? Now we go to another comment, another teaching unrelated to this, other than the names. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Shosa Revius Yayin Al Yora, one who drank a Revius. Revius is a liquid measure, a certain measure of wine. It's a certain, as we say, a certain liquid measure of wine. It, in terms of ounces, it's somewhere in the vicinity of 3-4 ounces of wine. He shall not issue halachic rulings. Omar Rav Nachman, lo ma'alya ha shmaitza. This is not a good teaching. To ano, when it comes to me, kol kamado lo shosino reviyasa dechamra, as long as I haven't drunk a reviyas of wine, lo tzila datoi. I don't have clarity of thought. Now, a question. Omar le Rava. This question lasts a couple of lines. Rava asks regarding Rav Nachman, my time, Omar mor hochi, why do you speak thusly, commenting on how wonderful this halach is and how not wonderful that halach is? Omar Rav Acha bar Chanina, did not Rav Acha teach my dichti v'roya zoynois yoyvat hoin? That's a posuk in Mishlei. And we explain the pasuk kol ha'omer shmua zu noe v'zu eino noe. The word zonos is taken to mean zu noe. It's a type of what's called notary cone, an abbreviation of zu noe. This is nice and this is not nice. Anyone who says that about different halachic teachings, me'abed hona shel Torah, he loses his wealth of Torah. Omalei, so Rav Nachman responds and says, Hadri bi, I retract. In other words, you're making a good point, and I shouldn't speak that way about teaching that this one is pleasant and this one is not pleasant. Omar Rabo bar Rav Huna, Shosui al Yispalel, a person who is Shosui, he's inebriated, so he should not daven. V'im hispalo tfiloso tfilo. If he does daven, he does pray, he in fact fulfills his prayer obligation. Shikor al yispalo, a person who is shikor. The Gemara will ask what is the distinction between these two terms, but in the meantime, shikor is a more advanced level of intoxication. He shall not daven. V'im hispalo tfiloso tfilo. If he does pray, so his prayer is considered an abomination. Hechi domi shosui vehechi domi shikor. How do you classify or describe these two situations? Now, we have a bracketed section. You can see we have a bracket length indicator as well, taking you down to the first of the wide lines. The note to the side under the starred note says, Sograim l'shem dilu kidei la'agia miyad l'tshuva. These are brackets that are here in order to enable us to get immediately to the answer. So let's skip for this for the time being. We ask, what is the difference between a shosui and a shikar? So the Gemara says, after the brackets, shosui equals kol shiyochel ledaber b'fei ha-melech. Person who is shosui literally means he drank, hence the term drunk. He's inebriated, but to the point he can still speak with honor and respect to a king. He hasn't, as we say, hasn't totally lost it. Shikor equals kol she'enu yochel ledaber lefnei ha-melech. He's so out of it that he can't speak with respect in the presence of a king. Now, that having been said, let's go over the bracketed section. The Gemara had said what is meant by a shosin, what is meant by a shikor. Ki ha de Rebbe Abba bar Shumni v'Rav Menashe bar Yirmiya midifti havu komifteri mehadodi. Me amabro de nahar yufti. You have these two rabbis, Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Menashe. They were parting ways. Miftiri me'adoni means they were parting ways at this location called Mabro de nahar yufti, at the crossing, the bridge, or the crossing of the river Yufti. Omru. So they said one to the other, Kol chad minon lemo milso de lo shmila chavrei. Let each one of us say something that the other one has not heard. Di omar mori ba rav huno. Mori has said, "Lo yiftar odo mechavera lo mitoch dvar halacha." One should not part from his friend other than through some words of Torah. Shemitoch kach zochro. By parting ways through words of Torah, one will remember him. One will remember the other. Posacha v'omar, and we've used this house marking to highlight the two halachas that each one will say that the other one has not heard. Hechi domi shosui vehechi domi shikor. So the first is what is relevant to our discussion, and the issue is how do you classify a shosui and how do you classify a shikor? So the answer to that is shosui is kol shiyochel ledaber lefnei ha-melech. And shikor is kol she'eno yochol ledaber lefnei hamelech. as you can see with the markings and the structure, we're trying to make order of the daf. So that which we have dealt with till now was the issue of what is the distinction between Shosui and Shikar, and we just got an answer to that. And you'll notice a bracketed section that appears again, and the note on the side says, Achrei HaSograyim, HaGemara Chozeres L'inyan Shichrus. After this bracketed section, the Gemara will go back to the issue of intoxication. Within the bracketed section will be something that's totally unrelated, other than the fact that it's the second of the two halachas that one friend said to the other in order to be remembered. So that if you just note for, before we go into the Gemara, the bracket length indicator, this takes you down a number of lines down Omid Beis. You can see the first five lines of Omid Beis are in brackets. At the end of that fifth line, it says, Omar Romi Bar Abba. And he, at that point, the Gemara goes back to the issue of the inebriated one. Now that the structure hopefully is clear, we can go into the brackets, understanding that we're getting off the topic right now of intoxication, of shichrus, and dealing with the second halacha that the second friend said to the other one in order to be remembered as they were parting ways. Posach idoch v'omar hamachzik b'nichsei hager. We have another marking, and under our nosei mivne note, we indicate, first of all, that this is a nosei mivne for the purpose of the brackets, besograyim. The trapezoid form, what we sometimes call the volcano shape, are dugmos shel hoin uruchu shebo l'odom b'li yigia. Property or wealth that came to a person without his exerting efforts for it, davei milsa tamo, which is something that's unusual. Generally speaking, people don't acquire their wealth, their holdings, other than through exertion. But people who come to it through ease, that is sort of raises eyebrows. Because it arouses public curiosity or interest, this brings on the effects of the of kin'ah, of jealousy, which is integrally related to the issue of ayin hara, the evil eye, and that puts the property at risk of losing it. So what should one do in order to maintain it? Now the trapezoid highlights different types of property like that. And we will also see in the Gemara a double underline with Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are highlighting expressions Yikach Bo and Sefer Torah. Later, we will see another double underline on the top of Omid Beis, where it speaks about preparing tefillin, using the money for buying tefillin. Eitzos v'shmira hanal. These are suggestions of how to preserve the wealth that you came upon. So just let us go over the general idea once again. Person gets a hold of, acquires property through exceptional ease, and there's the fear that jealousy and ayin hara will cause him to lose it. What can he do to preserve his newly found wealth? So the Gemara will present two approaches. One is use part of the money for buying, preparing, or for writing a Sefer Torah. Or an even an easier method later is use some of the money for purchasing tefillin. The idea being that once you do a mitzvah with part of the money, so that will ensure the preservation of the rest of the money. The idea of mitzvah extending it like more than the Gemara itself is found in the Rashi. Three lines from the bottom, Rashi says, "Lefikoch ein miskaimin im lo al yedei mitzvah." Now the Gemara. Posach idoch v'yomar, the other friend. Remember, we spoke about we had Rabbi Abba bar Shumi and Rabbi Nashi bar Yirmiyah splitting, parting ways. So we heard already the first halacha of the chiluk between Shosui and Shikor. And here we have the second halacha, the second teaching, Machzik benichsei hager, ma yasev iskaimu biyodo. Now, just a word about Nichsei Ager. Ager is a person who converted in his adult life to Judaism. And I say adult life because it's a situation where he has no children that survive him. Children that he would have had after conversion. So he dies as a convert. He's a Ger is a convert who converted to Judaism and had no children after his conversion. The status of his property is such that it is considered unowned, and we call Hefker, and anyone who comes along and is the first one to take possession of it, he becomes the owner. So taking possession of unowned property is a very easy thing to do. And this is in the realm of something called Milsa de Tmiya, something that's arouses wonderment on the part of the public, curiosity, interest, and as we said, possibly jealousy. Therefore, what should someone do? Ma yaseh, the Gemara says at the bottom line, ma yaseh v'yiskayim u'biyodeh, what should he do in order to ensure his preserving the property? So we see, yikach bohen sefer Torah. He should use part of the money for the purchase of a sefer Torah. Omar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is a number two, and you can see we're using a trapezoid marking. This is another example of property easily come by. So that the Eisa of Yikach Ben Sefer Torah would apply to this as well. So he's Rav Sheshes Afilu Baal Benichse Ishta. We're at the top of Omid Beis. You can see the again, trapezoid. Again, another example of easily acquired property. This is a person who married a woman, and in the marriage, in coming together, the woman brings into the marriage a fortune or a small fortune of money, so that person like that, as Rashi says at the second line from the top, is Shaltabu Eino Bisho. The problem of Eino Bisho, the Ayin Hara, is ever present. What should he do? So, Rav Sheshes, he should buy with part of the money a Sefer Torah. Rav Amar Filu Ev Ovad Isko V'Ravach. Rav says even if he made a deal and made a big profit on the deal, he should consider buying a Sefer Torah. Something like you can just imagine someone taking some money and buying stocks, and overnight the stocks go up an incredible amount. Him being a newly found fortune without very much effort. How much effort is there in calling the broker or placing the call over the computer? And profiting so much in such an easy way, he should buy a Sefer Torah with part of the money. Rav Papa Amar Afilu Motza Metzi, even one who finds a lost item, and it's of value, representing to him newly found wealth, he too should take this into consideration. Here we have Roman numeral number 2, another eighth of how to preserve the wealth. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Afilu Kosa Behu Tfilin. Even writing with the money, that means hiring a sofer to or buying tfilin with the money, part of the money, that too is a way of preserving the newly found wealth. V'yomar Rav Chonon V'teimo Rav Chanina Mai Kro. What is the pasuk that indicates this? Dichtiv Vayidar Yisrael Neder V'chule. This is found in Bamidbar, Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Beis. Let us take a look at the side of the Gemara where we have recorded this Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel. The reason for focusing on these Pesukim makes the Rashi easier to understand. So the Pesukim read, Vayidar Yisrael Neder Lashem Vayomar, Vayomer, Im Noson Titein Es Omazeh Biyodi, Vachranti Es Orehem. This is a reference to the battle that the Jews were about to enter, and they made a vow to the Almighty that if he grants them victory, so it says, Vachranti Es Orehem. Now the word Hachranti is a Lashon of Hektish. It's a Lashon of dedicating something to sanctity, to the Beis HaMikdash, in this case to the Mishkan. And the Pasuk goes on to say, after their dedication, Vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael, and Hashem heeded their words, Vayiten es haknani, Vayachram esem, esoreem, Vayikro shem alokom, chorma. And they were victorious, and they called the name chorma, the name of the place where the victory was enjoyed. we take a look at Rashi on the third line from the top. Mikra de al yedei davadu mitzvah. What is the pasuk that indicates that through the performance of a mitzvah, mekaymi biyadei, that they will preserve their property? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, and this we already read, and here's just a partial quote of the pasuk: Vayida Yisrael vachramti is lashon hektish. The word hachramti indicates they're dedicating the spoils of war to the treasury of the Beis Hamikdash. Va'ayadei kach nishmas tfilasam v'naflu b'yadam, and through that their prayers were heard, as you see in Pasuk Gimel, and they were victorious. So you see that through the performance of a mitzvah, in this case it was the dedication of the funds to the Mishkan, so they were successful. So too in our case, the performance of a mitzvah with the newly found wealth will help to preserve it. As you can see, at this point, the brackets are closed, and we go back to the issue of Shikrus. Omar Romi Bar Abba, Derech Mil, or Vashina Kolshu, Mefigin Esayan, a person who is inebriated, and he walks for the distance of a meal, approximately a kilometer, or he naps a little bit, that will, mefigin is to dispel the effects of the intoxication. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Barvua, Lo Shonu Ela Shishoso Kedei Revius. This advice is true only if he drank a revius of wine. But if he drank more than a revius, then the walking or the napping will cause him to be all the more affected by his intoxication. It will cause even it'll worsen his situation. The Gemara now asks a question. When we should point out, on the side of our Gemara, we have a subtopic heading where we mention hafogas yenu, the undoing of a state of intoxication. But having just heard Rav Nachman's teaching, we raise a question. This is a very long question, primarily because it takes in a very long Tanaic source. In this Tanaic source, we are going to raise a question. We should correct ourselves a little bit, but raise a question against that which Rami Bar Abba taught concerning the meal, that the derech meal is mafig es hayayin. Is that really so? The derech meal mafigo hayayin is one meal sufficient for reducing this. Counteracting the effects of the wine, the Tanya, do we not have the following teaching? And again, this is a very long source, and in this source, all we really need is that which the Gemara quotes at the end of the source. Following the source, you see Katoni Mias Shloshimil. If you go to the end of the framed section, the Gemara points out that in this source, in order to reduce the effects of the wine, they have to walk 3 meal, not 1 meal. That's the question. Now, that having been said, we can get involved with a story. So you're telling me that 1 meal is enough, oh, Tanya? Do we not have the following source? Ma'isi Rabbi Gamliel, a story involving Rabbi Gamliel, shoyerochim ala chamori, was riding on a donkey, boya mahalich me'akoi l'kziv, and he was traveling from the city of Akko to a more northerly city, Kziv. Boya Rabbi Eloi mahalich achrov, Rabbi Eloi was walking in back of him, was following him. Motza gluskin baderech, they found a loaf on the road. Omar Lo, Rabbi Gamliel says, Eloi tu gluskin min haderech, pick up the loaf from the road. Motza nochri echa, they chanced upon a Gentile. Omar Lo, so Rabbi Gamliel said, Mavgoi, this is a name, he says to the Gentile, Mavgoi tu gluskin halolum Eloi, take this loaf from Eloi. Nitpal lo Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Eloi joined up. He moved close to the goy, to the nochri, to this Gentile. Amar lo mehechan ata. He says, where are you from? Amar lo me'ayoros shel Burganin. I'm from towns of Borgonin. Borgonin are huts from the hut community. Uma shimcha, what's your name? Mavgoi Shamani. My name is Mavgoi. So Rabbi Eloi asks, did Rabbi Gamliel meet you sometime before? Does he know you from before? Amar lo, lav, no, I never met him. At that point, we learned Shekiven Gamliel Beruach HaKodesh. The Gamliel, he hit the bullseye. Kivein is he got it right. He hit the mark through divine inspiration. In other words, how could Rabbi Gamliel have known the name of this goy other than the fact that he was imbued with divine inspiration? This point should be of great significance for each one of us that are learning the Shas. One should realize that the Chachmei HaTalmud, the rabbinic figures that one sees on every page of the Shas, you're dealing with people that were to say head and shoulders above anything we know would be a severe understatement. You're dealing with people that were imbued with divine inspiration. And the practical application of that is that the words of Torah learning that we hear from the Chachmei HaTalmud should be of very great significance, everything that they say. You're dealing, once again, with people that here the Gemara says had Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara in Avodah Zorah records the fact that they had the power of resurrecting the dead, the Tchias HaMesim. And there's much, much, much more to say on the topic of the greatness of our sages, but let us just enjoy every teaching as we go along. The Gemara continues, Ushloisha Dvarim Lomavnu Ba'oseh Shah. Three things we learned from that at that moment, at that time. Lomanu, we learned from the fact that Rabbi Gamliel said, he said to Rabbi Eloi, pick up the loaf, she'ein mavirin ala oichlin. One is not to walk over food, to walk over and leave it there, but rather to pick it up. Volamadnu shehochin achrei roiv oivrei drochim. The fact that Rabbi Gamliel did not allow Rabbi Eloi to eat the loaf, but rather said, give it to the goy, we learn that you follow, in order to conclude halachic decisions, the majority of those that are traveling that road. And in this case, the issue is bread that's we call pas akum, bread that's baked by non-Jews, is something that is rabbinically restricted from Jews to eat. And this point is not something that is not related per se to kosher versus unkosher ingredients, but rather there's a separate isur of a Gentile that prepares bread, prepares baked goods, prepares bread, that a Jew is not to partake of it. So the fact that he did not allow Rab Eloi to eat the bread, Rab Gamliel was figuring that the majority of the people that travel on this road are Gentiles, hence creating the prohibition, and being that they are the majority, it's probably one of them that prepared this found loaf. Therefore, give it away, don't eat it yourself. Velo manu, third point, shechemso shel nochri achar ha-pesach mutir b'hano. We have to insert just this assumption, as Rashi says, that this story took place after Pesach. The holiday of Passover just concluded, and there's a an issue concerning chometz that was left over through the holiday of Pesach if the chometz is owned by a Jew. In other words, the Jew did not destroy or get rid of or sell his chometz. Chometz that was owned by a Jew over Pesach is forbidden to benefit from. In contrast to that, that is what we see here. The chometz that is owned or belongs to a goy that existed through Pesach, that's something you are allowed to benefit from. And the benefit here was that Rav Eloi, in effect, was presenting this loaf as a gift. That's a source of benefit, where you, like, when you give a gift to someone, so he that creates a feeling of indebtedness on the part of the receiver of the gift. That's considered you, the giver, having received benefit. So we see from this story that chemtzah shel nochri achar pesach is mutter b'hano. The chometz of a goy that passed through, that existed during the holiday of Pesach, one is allowed to benefit from that. The Gemara continues, kevan shigia l'kziv bo echad lishal al nidra. When they arrived in Kziv, that was their destination, someone came to Rabbi Gamliel to seek an absolution of his vow. Omar lozesh imo, Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Eloi, who was with him, imo means with him, he says, Rabbi Gamliel says, klum shosinu revias yayin otaki, did we not drink a revias of Italian wine? Omar lo, hey, yes, we did. Im kain, well, if that's the case, then yetayel acharenu ad shiyafig yeinenu, then follow us. Rabbi Gamliel says that this fellow who wants an absolution from his vow should follow us until our intoxication dissipates. That's yofig yeinenu. V'tilachrem shloishem milin. And they ended up walking for 3 mil ad shigil is suma shel tzur, until they got to this location called suma shel tzur. Kevan shigil is suma shel tzur, yorah gamliel min hachamor. When they got to suma shel tzur, suma gamliel, don't forget, he was requested to absolve the vow, so he got off the donkey, the nisatef, and he cloaked himself, the yoshav, and he sat, the tir loy nidro, and he absolved the vow. The harbei dvarim lomadnu bo isasha. At this point, we learned a lot of things, and we underlined the word lomadnu, highlighting each one of the points. Lomadnu shirvias yain italki mishakir. We learned that a revias of Italian wine causes inebriation. Lomadnu shikur al yoran. We learned from here that someone who is intoxicated, who is shikor, is not allowed to rule halachic rulings. And in this case, the halachic ruling involves the absolution of the vow. V'lomadnu shederech mefiglas hayayin. We learn from here that the walking, the derech, the traveling, undoes the effects of the wine. V'lomadnu, we also learn from here, shein mefirin nadorim. One is not to absolve vows. Lo rochu v'lo mahalich. Not while riding, not while walking. V'lo omed, not while standing. Elo yoshev. Rather, while seated. And as we saw in the story, that Ramuel got off the donkey and he sat for the purpose of absolving the vow. Kotoni Mias, it says, however, in this source, Shlosha Mila, that in order to undo the effects of the wine, they had to travel 3 mil. That would run counter to Rami Bar Abba's teaching that 1 mil is enough. The Gemara answers, Shaini Yayin Huatalki, de Meshakir Tvei. The case in this story involved Italian wine. That causes additional intoxication, and therefore you have to travel more than 1 mil. In other words, for standard wine, 1 mil in effect can be, its effects can be, a revias of regular wine can be undone by 1 mil of travel. 3 mil is necessary, though, for the more potent yain u'atalki. The Gemara asks, did he not say above? We have arrows to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara. You can align this with the arrow above, you'll see where he appears. Lo shanu el shoshos revias. The idea of a meal undoing the wine is only if he drank one revias. Avol shoso yosim revias. But if he drank more than a revias, in our case, it's true we're dealing with one revias, but you're dealing with Yayin u'atalki. So it's the fact that it's more potent is the equivalent of having drunk more than a revias of regular wine. What do we say about drinking more than a revias of regular wine, or in this case, the revias of yayin u'atalki? Kol shekein derech tordoso v'shino mishakroso. The traveling or the sleeping will only exacerbate or enhance the problem of the wine. So, how do you explain Rav Gamliel's behavior and his solution for undoing the effects of the wine, when, if anything, the additional traveling, the traveling that he suggested, will only heighten the effects of the intoxication? The Gemara answers, Rochuv Shaini. They, Rav Gamliel and company, were riding. They weren't walking. So as a result of this, you don't have the Torah HaDerech that was mentioned before by Rav Nachman, and therefore the three meal of riding would in fact be able to undo the effects of the Revi'ah Siyanu Atalki. Had they been walking, then it's true, it would not have helped. Hashto de'osis lahachi. Now that we've come to this point, Laromi Barchamo Nami Lokashio. We have a little star to the immediate right-hand side. Or you can align this with the star way above, also opposite Rami Bar Abba. So that, remember, we had raised this Tanaic source as a kasha on what he said. Namely, he said that one meal is the method of undoing the effects of the wine. In this source, we saw the need for three meal. So, but now that we've come to this explanation of Rochav Shaini, the original question is not a problem for Rami Bar Abba either. So the Rami Bar Abba Nami Lo Kashya, Rochav Shaini, using the same answer that riding is different. So we'll explain that when it comes to walking, well, one meal of walking will undo the effects of the Revius of wine. However, when it comes to riding, in order to undo the effects, you need to ride a greater distance because you don't have the same exertion that was undoing the effects of the Revius in the case of walking. So to compensate for the lack of Torah, you would need to ride three meal, and that will undo the effects of the wine. We encounter again a bracketed section. The bracket purpose of the brackets is explained by the note that you see to the side of the Gemara. You see a double star, and we note Hagemara basagraim is hasekis binyan hatoras nedarim. The Gemara in the brackets will deal with the issue of absolving vows. Later, the Gemara will go back to the issue of intoxication. So, let's now that having been said, and just noting the length of the brackets, you can see the bracket length indicator taking you to the bottom line where the curlicue brackets close. On the side, under the Nosei heading, you can see we note Basograim in the brackets, Hatoras Nedorim. The undoing of vows, the absolving of vows, Bamida versus Yeshiva, standing versus sitting. We'll see the concept of Poisrin Becharota Olo. Is there a necessity of being Posech Becharota or not in absolving a vow? That idea, so we'll explain more as we go into the Gemara and look at the Rashi. So now the Gemara itself, the Gemara asks, Aini, is that so? Now, what is that a question on? Well, before we said that Ein Mefirin Ela Yoshev, that vows are not undone unless you are seated. Well, is that so? V'omer Rav Nachman Mefirin Nedorim Bein Malach Bein Omeid Bein Rochuv, that vows can be absolved whether you are walking, standing, or riding. The Gemara answers Tanoi Hi. The two opinions that we are hearing now are really a machlokes tanoim in maseches nedorim, and the positioning of one for absolving a vow is dependent on these two opinions. The ikol lemando omar poischin becharota, the ikol lemando omar ein poischin becharota. To explain this line of Gemara, we must point out that there is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. As is characteristic of Gemara markings, we are going to use Rashi's pshat in this Gemara. So, before we go any further in the Gemara, let's turn to the Rashi. About halfway down the page, Poislin Becharoto, Rashi says, Tzorach lechochom limso pesach la shoel. The sage who is absolving the vow on behalf of the client, he must find an opening for the absolution. Shelo pishon pelomar, so that the we have to find, we call an opening for the client to be able to finally say lo das kein lo no darti. Where the Chacham, after raising some questions, some investigation, he will succeed in getting the client to concede that, oh, having known this, I wouldn't have vowed, and had I known thus and thus, so I would never have made my neder. V'nimso neder nekar me'oven, and through that declaration, after the research on the part of the Chacham, it will then demonstrate that the vow really was uprooted from its source. So, poison b'charot, according to Rashi, involves the exertion of effort on the part of the Chacham to get the client to make that declaration that, had I known all of this, I wouldn't have vowed. So, if you assume, or if you accept that position of poison b'charata, now, being that that requires a lot of effort on the part of the sage to get the client to make this declaration, to come to this conclusion, it's necessary for the chacham to be seated. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Ein poischin. Ein tzorach luftoch lo b'charata. You don't have to go through all of that which we explain. According to the approach that says Ein posim b'charata, Rashi, and this is Rashi's pshat, that it's enough for the chacham to say, I hereby absolve you of the vow, without finding a basis for the undoing, for the absolution of the vow. Now, Rav Gamliel Savar Kemad Omer Poischin. Rav Gamliel, though, he who required being seated, he accepts the position of Poischin B'charata, as Rashi had explained. So therefore he needs calmness of thought, the ability to concentrate, and that's accomplished only if one is seated. Now, let us turn back to the Gemara. Of course, that the need for being seated is according to the Maamar Poschim Harata, and that which Rav Nachman said, that Mefir Nedarim, Bein Mahalach, Bein Oyin, Bein Rochuv, that's according to the opinion, the Tanaic approach that says, Ein Poschim B'Harata. The Omar Rabo Bar Chana, Omar Rav Yochanan, My Posach Le Rav Gamliel Ahu Gavra. What did Rav Gamliel say to the man seeking absolution? So Rav Gamliel said, he quoted a pasuk, Yesh boite kimad keros cherev v'loshon chachom marpei. Kol ha-boite roi l'doikru b'cherev. Anyone who's boite, who pronounces a neder, he who vows, he is deserving of being doikru b'cherev, being pierced by a sword. The idea being that a person who vows, there always is the fear that he won't fulfill his vow. And in telling this information to the client, that, you know, you took a vow, you're deserving of being pierced by a sword. Had you known that it's usher to vow, and the one who does is deserving of death, would you have made the nether? And the client says, oh, no, I never would have made the vow. So that's what Rav Gamliel said to the client. He said, kol ha-boite roi l'doker b'cherev. Hello, the pasuk is telling shaloshel chachomim marpei, that the words of the sages, in this case the ability of the chacham to undo the neder, is marpei, is a remedy, is the solution for one who in fact had vowed. But it was important for Amiel to tell the person that, you know, do you know that what you did by vowing that makes you subject to a death penalty, as we just explained, in the fear of not fulfilling the vow. When we speak, by the way, of death penalty, we don't refer necessarily to a court-imposed death sentence, but it's a it's a manner of speaking that one is in violation of a very serious offense, and at the hands of heaven, heaven could decide to kill such a person who doesn't fulfill his vows. You can see, by way of our markings, as we mentioned before, we're in the middle of a bracketed section. However, here we have a situation where we have an internal brackets, and on the side of the Gemara we have a note, Matras Sograyim Elu, the purpose of these angular brackets, is L'tachem HaKetah Shemedaber El Ein Ma'avir Na'alochen, it's to set off, to isolate the section of Gemara that deals with an issue mentioned before. And we have a little star to the left-hand side of the Gemara. You can see what it's referring to the story above and the source from which we learned that one is not to be ma'avir al oichle, not to walk by food, but rather pick it up and take it with you. These angular brackets, also it lasts till the bottom line. And we have a bracket length indicator for this on the other side of the Gemara. In this case, the right-hand side of the Gemara. Omar Mar, it was mentioned before, V'ein Mavirin Ala Oichlin. But rather, you don't walk by the Oichlin, rather pick it up and take it. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimbar Nechoi. Rabbi Yochanan, quoting Rabbi Shimbar Nechoi, says, Lo Shana Lebedoros Urishonim, this idea of taking the food that you find on the road, picking it up, is true with regard to the earlier generation, Shein Benois Yisrael Putzus B'kshofim, when the Jewish women folk were not engaged in kshafim, in the practice of black magic. But in more recent generations, in our time, says Rabbi Yochanan, quoting Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, in our times, Shebenois Yisrael Prusas B'kshafim Mavirin, that the Jewish women folk are so involved with black magic, walk by it. Don't pick it up. Of course, the idea here that there may very well have been a spell cast upon the food, and you don't want to get involved with that. Tana, there's a short Tanaic source that says Shleimin Mavirim Sisinei Mavirin. When we speak about walking by, this is true only with regard to complete whole loaves. It's on them that the problem of spells exists. However, pieces, ain mavirin, don't walk by them, but rather pick them up, because there is no chashash of kshafim on them. Amar le Rav Asi le Rav Ashi, pisisin lo avdon, and on pieces they don't cast spells. Vaksiv, does it not say in the pasuk, va techalelino oisi elami b'shale seirim uvivsoise lechem? So the pasuk, the spirit of this pasuk is that you defile me through your behavior, through your witchcraft, and it mentions uvivsoise lechem, which would indicate that the witchcraft is practiced on the pieces. The Gemara answers no. It's not that the witchcraft is practiced on the pieces, but rather deshakli bagrayu, those involved with their witchcraft, with the kshafim, received the psisim as payment for their services. And that's what the pasuk is referring to, the violation and the defamation of my name through the black magic that you practice in exchange for, in payment, in receiving payment through the psisei lechem. However, as far as bread or food that's suspect of having absorbed the kshafim, that's true only with regard to complete loaves. As you can see, the brackets close over here, indicating that we go back to the topic before of shichus. Omer of Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Elozer ben Azaria. We continue at the top of Samachem and Aleph. So, in the name, the following was said in the name of Rabbi Elozer ben Azaria. Yochal ani liftor es kol ha'olam kulo min adin miyoyim shechorav beis hamigdash viad achshav. I could exempt the world from punishment from the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamigdash. That's miyom shechor beis hamigdash ad achshav, from the time of destruction till now. I can find a reason for exempting the world from punishment, for not being held accountable for their sins. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Lochein Shimino Zos Aniyo Ushuras Velomi Ayin. The Pasuk describes the people as being drunk, and as such, so they are not there shogeg. They are, when sinning, they're like drunk, like drunken individuals, and as such, they're not really guilty for their offenses. So the Pasuk describes the population after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash as being drunk. Meisvei, the Gemara raises an objection to what we just said. You, in this Pasuk, are saying shchuras, which has to be with intoxicated, as being someone that's not responsible for his actions. And ends, he's not a real sinner. He's not any worse than a shogeg. Meisvei. Well, we have in the following source the description of a shikar, someone who is quite responsible for his actions. Shikar mekho meka, humem koro memkar. If he conducts a transaction, so if he sells something, it's a sale. In other words, if he buys mekho mekach, if he buys something, it's a purchase. If he sells something, it's a sale. Over avera sheish ba miso mimisino. So if a shikor violated a sin that's that carries with it a capital punishment, he is to be killed. Malkus malkino. So if his violation was one involving a lashing punishment, he is to be lashed. Klolo Shildover, the rule is Hareu Kepikech Lucholdvoro Veloshapotim Menatvila. We dashed underline the main point. We see here in this source that he's considered of sound mind. A Pikech is one of sound mind with regard to all matters, with the exception that he is exempt from davening, from prayer. So, that being the case, how can Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say, I could exempt the whole world from din? Because of everyone being viewed as intoxicated, even if one is viewed as intoxicated, this source says that he is considered a pikech l'chol. He's considered responsible for all his actions. So the Gemara answers, "My yacholni liftor dekom arnami." That which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah originally said that I could exonerate the world. What did he mean? Midin tfila. It's a much more isolated point. It means he can find people reason for exempting people from davening without proper concentration. Optimally, when one davens, one is supposed to have proper kavona, proper concentration. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying that nowadays we are like the drunk with regard to prayer, and hence we don't have proper concentration, and we will not be held accountable for davening without kavona. Rashi says, "Midin tefila." Third line from the top: "Im donenos sanal shelohi misbal mekavona yochalni lefroton." If people are going to be held accountable for not having davened with proper concentration, so regarding that, I found this pasuk as a basis for exemption. Omar Rabbi Chanina lo shono lo shelo gil shikus shelo. That which we said, that a person who is shikor is considered pikeach l'chol dvarov, that is true only if he, though he is intoxicated, he hasn't reached the state of intoxication that Lot had achieved. And if you recall, in Chumash Bereishis, Lot had, at the point that Sodom was destroyed, he became drunk. So much so that he was so unaware of what was going on about him that his own daughters practiced intimacy with their father while he was totally unaware of what was going on. That's a very intense state of drunkenness. So the Gemara says, "Avol higiel shikusu shalot." A person reaches that level of intoxication, poter mikulam. Then he, in fact, is exempt from everything. Everything we said above regarding his transactions or his sinning would not apply. Before we sign off, let us just mention that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.